Okay, let's move into the final item this afternoon, which is 487.
Support entering the project development phase of the Powell Division Transit and Development Project, an authorized letter to Metro stating commitment to provide transportation system development charge funds towards the transit project.
Commissioner Novick.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I'd like to first thank Metro for the Community Planning and Development Grant that funded city staff participation in the planning process for this Powell Division Transit and Development Project. I also want to thank the following community members who provided valuable direction to the project's planning process: Judith Mowry of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, Kem Marks and Lori Boyson of the Division Midway Alliance, Rahi Reddy of Epano and the Jade District, Vivian Satterfield of Opal Environmental Justice, David Wong of Epano, and Dr. Lisa Bates of Portland State University. This is largely a transit project, but fortunately, when we do this transit project, we will also improve safety along Inner Powell and Outer Division. We were reminded again this week of the safety issues on Powell with the tragic crash involving the bicyclist at 26th and Powell. We've long known that crossing and safety improvements along Powell Boulevard could significantly improve the safety for everyone sharing the road, whether you're driving, walking, or biking. And Director Treat and I are committed to reaching our Vision Zero goals to move towards zero traffic-related fatalities and serious injuries. The need for safer and faster access to transit and faster, more reliable transit service, especially to jobs and school, is particularly prevalent in the Inner Powell Outer Division corridor. The corridor now includes some of the highest ridership in the entire TriMet system. The number 4 bus in Division is over 9,000 trips a day. The number 9 bus in Powell is over 8,700 trips per day. Preliminary estimates indicate that the possible bus rapid transit line along Powell Division might have average weekly day line riders of between 24 and 28,000 people, some of those would be shifted from existing lines, but the preliminary estimates indicate that in the neighborhood of 6,000 new average trips would be added to the TriMet system. This project would complement the hoped for implementation of the Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan and the safety improvements involved there, our efforts to improve safety on 122nd, and hopefully TriMet will also add frequent service. These are all priority projects identified in the East Portland in Motion 5-year strategy in the East Portland Action Plan. Supporting the Powell Division Transit Development Project also reinforces elements of our comprehensive plan update. We are pleased that PBOT actually has some SDC funds that we're prepared to commit towards this project. Our SDC funds will leverage federal and regional funds towards improving transit access to educational employment opportunities, among other things, at PCC, PSU, OHSU, and Mount Hood Community College. Throughout the planning process, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has been developing a land use vision and action plan to help guide and support future development and community building activities along the corridor. We want to be sure that this project actually serves existing members of the community and doesn't simply lead to gentrification. We, of course, very much hope that the legislature will give us some new tools to prevent gentrification. We also are confident the community benefits agreements, local hiring, and hiring of minority and women-owned contracting companies during this actual project will be of great value to the community. Because the steering committee includes community partners and citizen representatives, displacement mitigation tools like these have been prioritized throughout the planning process, strengthening the relationships with the community members along the corridor. I'll now ask Leah Treat, Director of the Bureau of Transportation, to share more details on this project.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Again, I am Leah Treat, the Director of the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Go ahead. So I'm pleased today to be bringing to you the Powell Division Transit and Development Project. It's a high-capacity transit project on the Powell Division corridor, and it will connect downtown Portland to Gresham. And so we're here today to ask for your support to advance the project from the planning phase into its next phase of project development. I have the honor of representing the City of Portland on the steering committee alongside our agency partners, elected officials, and community partners. Although Commissioner Novick is our official representative appointed by the mayor, I have been participating on his behalf. Planning for the project has been a collaborative effort involving the Bureau of Transportation, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Metro, TriMet, ODOT, Multnomah County, and the City of Gresham. And this partnership is a reflection of the multi-jurisdictional nature of the PAL Division project corridor and includes street segments belonging to Portland, Gresham, Multnomah County, and the State of Oregon. Metro is leading the region's effort to plan the project, and TriMet is leading the design process. TriMet would also operate the new service. Given their significant roles, we have invited Brian Monberg, Metro's planning project manager, and Alan Leto, TriMet's director of planning and policy, to share more of the details of the project with you today. The PAL Division project includes three of the city's high crash corridors at PAL, 82nd, and Division. And these streets have been experienced high demand from pedestrians and cyclists and people accessing transit. So this project presents a really good opportunity for us to move forward on our Vision Zero goals and improve safety along these high crash corridors. The high-capacity transit project also ties into our Portland Progress Goals and is identified as connecting Portlanders to economic opportunities. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian to share more about the project.
Good afternoon. We're very pleased to give you an update on the project. This project corridor does connect downtown Portland to southeast Portland, east Portland, the city of Gresham, with a vision to connect downtown to Mount Hood Community College near the eastern boundary of our region. And there's a lot of opportunity to connect a number of major destinations in the corridor. Just to highlight why we are moving forward with this project, this was identified as one of two priority corridors out of the regional transportation plan, including Southwest Corridor and the PAL Division Corridor, those highlighted in green from the regional high-capacity transit plan. And as we've talked about, this is a corridor where a lot of people are riding transit every single day. There's a lot of line ridership, a lot of growth on the 4 and the 9, and a real opportunity to connect to existing investments in the Orange Line, the Green Line, and the Blue Line. And just as an example of that, right in the middle of the corridor at the intersection of 82nd and Division, there's over 18,000 on-offs a week at that site, which, to put in context, is enough people to nearly fill up the Timbers soccer stadium. A lot of activity and a lot of people engaging in this project and engaging transit in our corridor. So when we're working on the transit project, we're very focused on making sure that we build a project that can save time for people riding it, providing for a comfortable and safe trip, and importantly, connecting the places we care about. As we've discussed, we've been really focused on developing the economic development strategy around this site, leveraging so much work the City of Portland has already put in places like the Portland-Milwaukee Line, Foster Powell, the Jade District, and East Portland. And as we've talked about, there's been an emerging theme for the education corridor, recognizing that this project can leverage investments in Portland State, Oregon Health Sciences University, with the significant investment Portland Community College has put at 82nd and Division, and Mount Hood Community College campus. The two largest high schools in the state of Oregon are in our corridor at David Douglas and Reynolds High School and several other high schools. There's a lot of students transferring between all of these educational institutions. And we've also been working closely with the efforts that Portland Development Commission and the City of Portland have had around the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative, and in particular the Jade District and Division Midway. And when we put those together with this emerging action plan, this project has really been focused on supporting the uniqueness of the communities along the corridor, providing amenities that really improve the neighborhood, and importantly, a real focus on supporting equitable development. So just to briefly summarize the project, this is twofold, both a transit and development project. In this planning phase, we've been focused on developing a vision around the route and the stations and supporting projects for the transit. And the City of Portland has been leading the effort in partnership with the City of Gresham for a development strategy, and we've been working together to define a series of actions and projects that can really help support the areas we'd like to see change and the areas the community would like to see remain stable. And with that, we've really focused on the notion that everything is done in partnership. Metro has been leading the steering committee where the community and agency have been coming together to identify shared issues, finding common ground. And with that agreement, we look to pursue and collaborate on funding. And that agreement and that effort working together in partnership really has provided a lot of value and opportunity to bring needed investments in the corridor. And as an example of that, we've been holding a lot of community-based workshops in the corridor over the last year and a half, and that has included both geographically specific as well as culturally and multilingual engagement, also working closely with high school students in the corridor and local businesses. We've also had a focus in a series of workshop discussions around equitable development. Our website and our work with the community has developed an equitable development resource kit. And the emerging action plan the city has been developing has focused on housing, economic development, and real projects and policies that can support the communities in conjunction with the transit investment. And also just want to acknowledge the online efforts and what we learned from the comprehensive plan and the online map app that was so successful. We've had a similar effort on this project. Just this spring, we had over 1,500 comments online and a lot of engagement online as well as in person. As an example of that, I just wanted to share a quote from one of the community members we've engaged who said, "Thank you for having me speak for our Tongan community at the steering committee and very much appreciate the ink time. I will share with my sewing class today and the word of mouth will spread faster than the high-speed internet at Metro." The Tongan community will know we've been heard. And Kalini did speak with our steering committee in March and we've engaged many groups along the corridor to hear where they would like to see the investments. And so what that has meant is our steering committee has partnered community and business organizations. The steering committee is a little unique. We have 22 members, and we've taken a triple bottom line approach. So in addition to elected officials and the neighborhood communities, we've had representatives of social, environmental, and economic interests on the corridor. It's been a real delight to work with a very broad group to really build a vision for the corridor. We develop goals around transportation, well-being, equity, and efficiency. Really important to really focus on how this can really support the community and equity goals. And where we are with the project is we have developed a vision for a new bus rapid transit project that would run on Inner Powell in Portland, connecting to Division, to Gresham, and to Mount Hood Community College. We're still working through some planning decisions about the actual route. There's been a strong interest on 82nd as being the route, but we're doing some additional design work on that, and also refining some choices in Gresham. So finally, just want to highlight some of the collaboration. One has been partnership with the philanthropic community and been doing a grant based on art and placemaking along the corridor, partnering with the Jade and Division Midway District. Been also working very closely with the Jade District. Their visioning process identified over the last year four key opportunities around traffic improvements, 82nd and Division, and a community space and green space. We're excited to say that that led to a Metro Transit-Oriented Development purchase for the former furniture store site right at 82nd and Division, right next to Portland Community College. And what that's led to is a partnership with Apano to have that as a multicultural space as we've worked together to define a vision for future housing on the site. And for those of you who attended the event last week to kick off this site, it was a really exciting event with a lot of community participation. It's been a great partnership to look at those kinds of investments parallel to the transit investment. And just want to acknowledge there's a continued interest to actually site the station on the campus of Mount Hood Community College, which is significant. Their district does encompass much of East Portland and many students. So we've had an exciting partnership with the college, and we're actually at the board tonight to discuss the project with them. So that's a brief overview, and I want to transition to Alan Lato, who's going to talk a little bit more about the project.
Thanks, Brian. We're very excited about the opportunity to develop this project. As you've heard, there are a number of transit riders in this corridor, of course, but it's a real opportunity to bring what is effectively a new mode to the region to improve even more so that experience for existing riders and to attract new riders in this corridor and to support the aspirations of the communities along the way, both in Portland and in the city of Gresham. It's a real opportunity to bring that improvement in a way that is brings it in a relatively quick manner and really considers all of the needs and aspirations that can go into this kind of a project to improve transit in this set of the corridor. What I'm going to do here is talk just a little bit more about nuts and bolts as well, and Brian, if you could go to the next slide there. In terms of timing, you've heard already that we've spent several years understanding and learning as much as we can, connecting with people in the community and understanding what the interests are and what the needs are to try to get to the big picture idea of what this improvement should be. Then what we do is we start to move into this next stage of project development and beyond that brings that from a conceptual idea and the promise to how we actually deliver that promise and ultimately go into construction and opening the service and running it for the very long term. There will be lots more to work on for that, but for right now, maybe if you go to the next one, this next step is what FTA calls project development. And the term isn't as important as just understanding that it's taking what's a conceptual idea and putting a little bit more shape to it so that we can do that important analysis of the benefits and the potential impacts and how to mitigate some of those impacts as part of the project. And that's what you see, the ability for us to work on the preliminary engineering, planning for the funding for the ultimate construction of the project, and on the environmental work. All of this is to essentially get into the queue, the pipeline for FTA to be able to work with our federal partners to have them help us do this project. It's part of what's called the Small Starts Program, which it has certain limits to it, but also has a lot of advantages in terms of being a simpler, faster, and easier to implement kind of program than what we had to do for instance, the Orange Line that's going to be opening up in September. It allows us to bring the benefits this decade, hopefully, rather than a decade from now. And I know you've heard some about what bus rapid transit is, but just as a reminder for you and for those who are listening, it's a whole range of improvements, most of which we have bits and pieces of around the region, so exclusive bus lanes like we have in downtown or leading to some of the bridges. Specialized vehicles, though, and larger stations, great information at those stations, connections to different places and different lines in throughout the corridor, and the ability to really do something special with this corridor that we haven't done anywhere else in the region. We also have the great opportunity, unfortunately we're not first with this one, but we have the opportunity to learn from some of the great successes and mistakes that have happened in other parts of the country. So learning from a Cleveland Health Line or a Los Angeles Orange Line and other places that really understand now what you can do with bus rapid transit and how to make it work as well as possible. And I also want to emphasize that we have a real opportunity. We've set it up right this time where we're talking about the corridor, the capital improvements to the corridor, and the service to this one Powell Division corridor at the same time that we're talking about the vision for the transit network as a whole. So it's not just one line. It's how it connects in with all the entire system so that people can make those important connections to educational opportunities, job opportunities, daily needs, healthcare, all of the things that people need on a day-by-day and week-by-week basis, and not just travel in a single corridor, but travel throughout East Portland, East County, the rest of the region. And as part of that, to make sure that we're doing that, we've been doing what we call the service enhancement plans or the future of transit work to develop the vision for what that future network looks like and how it connects with this project. And so you can see a few of the things that we've been hearing on the east side, requests for more coverage, especially for north-south service in areas that we don't have, either improvements or new lines, service more often earlier and later than we do today, connecting with employment areas, enhancing access to education, healthy food, and services that are places in East Portland but are not convenient to every corridor. And, of course, part of this project and partnerships throughout the region to try to improve access to transit in a safe and responsible way.
All right. Thank you, Brian and Alan. We should talk a little bit about the City of Portland's funding for the project. PBOT is able to help advance the project into project development with a financial contribution from our SDC funds. We're estimating spending roughly $2 million in SDCs toward project development, and those funds would count towards the region's match of a future federal Small Starts grant of perhaps $75 million. It'll be a great opportunity for us to leverage our SDC funds towards the project, and additional SDC funds are available for the project should it continue to advance into final design and construction. You want to move? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I don't know if you guys had that on your screen or not, but there's a snapshot of the – sorry about that.
We've got it. Is it out there, too?
Yeah. What's the next slide? You want me to leave the financials up for you for a little bit?
Yeah, are
you,
please.
Okay, you can leave them back while I talk. So we've already funded capital investments in the corridor. PBOT, ODOT, and TriMet all have safety and ped bike access projects that are currently funded in the corridor. And there's over $47 million allocated in East Portland alone to the EPIM, East Portland in Motion Plan, implementation by the city and other agencies between 2012 and 2018. Portland and Gresham are developing land use visions and action plans to complement the BRT project. Portland's action plan will focus on coordinating internally to better promote affordable housing and housing preservation and economic development. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is working with the Portland Housing Bureau and the Portland Development Commission to find opportunities for joint or coordinated actions. And BPS will have a proposed draft this summer with review time before it goes to the PSC and ultimately the City Council in the fall. We can move ahead. Is that okay on the slides?
Yes, please.
That's just, you've already seen that one if you want to go to the last one. So PBOT supports the project, and we're very happy with the direction that it is headed, and we are very supportive of the region's effort to move into project development with the FTA. And those concludes our remarks, and we're happy to take questions from the council.
So actually, oops, put that back up if you would. I was going to ask you a question about that. And that is in the portion between I-205 and Cesar Chavez there, you show still two alternative routes. Mm-hmm. Is that because you're still at that penultimate phase before you select the locally preferred alternative? You're still weighing both of those options about whether it's what?
It's
60th or 82nd?
It's 82nd and 50 and 52nd. And 82nd really rose to the top for people in their preferred route, but we're also concerned about timing and moving the being able to move the bus through quickly on a BRT route. And I think there are possible issues on 82nd and timing, if I remember correctly from the
As you know, the intersections of 82nd Powell and 82nd Division are exceptionally challenging. Mm-hmm. And so while there's certainly a lot of support for 82nd, we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we can travel through there and make the connections that people expect in a timely manner.
What's the alternative?
Right now what you see on there is either 50th or 52nd.
But then doesn't that take you through the high cross corridor on Division? That seems like that's even more challenging than 82nd.
They both have real issues to work through, which is why we haven't quite settled on a single way to approach it. The point of project development is once you have the mode and the general alignment is to follow up with those details so that we all collectively agree that, yes, this, whatever it is the best way to move forward in terms of the benefit of the project and the benefit of the other needs around the project.
Have you looked at, instead of turning on 82nd, turning on 102nd or 122nd?
The real pearl here, if we think about what we're trying to connect to, is PCC Southeast, which is at 82nd in Division, and the Jade District, which is very interested in having the access at 82nd.
From somebody without a technical background, it seems like that even with the challenges at the intersections with Division and Powell, that 82nd is going to be more feasible than Division.
I certainly would not tell you that's not true. We just haven't gotten to a consensus around the table that that's exactly what we need to do.
And how is that decision made?
We go to the steering committee, which is made up, as Brian described it, and describe the technical issues and kind of how that feeds in with the aspirations of the project itself, and then collectively make that decision.
And who makes that decision?
The steering committee makes a recommendation.
Does the council sign off on that?
Formally, I think not at each stage, though. Correct me if I'm wrong, Leah.
LPA stage we do, right?
Right. When we get to the LPA, locally preferred alternative, which brings all of those into one package and describes what the project ought to be, then yes, you do take a formal.
So there'll be a public hearing at that point.
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
But I'm glad you're asking those questions, Commissioner Fritz. I think you may have been here, I certainly was in a previous service through this phase of the process, and it's really important that the project team, obviously they hear from Commissioner Novick frequently, and it's really important that they hear from the whole council. So that's why this kind of a check-in is really important, so that they understand where we corporately are coming from. And I have some notes. I want to make sure I get some things into the record for you as well, but I think it's sort of, this is a chance to capture the sense of the council about some of these issues that might affect your decision making, rather than have you make a decision that we don't like and have to try to, you know, go backwards. So it's really important that we have this kind of open discussion now.
Yeah, having been to PCC on 82nd down Division, I would find it difficult to figure out how to have rapid bus service down the narrower lanes past Franklin High School, along some of the intersections that are, and plus with all the parking in the apartments that are being built on that. My recommendation is that you strongly look at the 82nd alternative.
Thank you.
So yeah, let me make some comments as well, and I know we're going to take public testimony, but and this is something I think the whole council ought to provide some reinforcement to Commissioner Novick and to the project team on. I believe it remains the philosophy and the policy of the Portland City Council, present company included, that when it comes to a set of decisions like this, that the pedestrian and the transit rider are the first class passenger and in the system. We accommodate bicycles, and that transit effectiveness trumps traffic operations. It was true before, true now. I hope it's always true. So when it comes right down to the choices of, is this a better transit project that will allow more people to get to where they want to go on time, to get to their child's daycare or get to work or get, and traffic moves, automobile, single occupancy automobile traffic moves a little more slowly, I believe it's still our corporate philosophy as a city that that's the right choice. And I think we've demonstrated that recently in the decisions about the Foster Streetscape Plan, which is a traffic calming, humanizing project for what it will be like at street level on Foster. And so that would perhaps mean that things like, if we have to jurisdictionally transfer portions of 82nd to the city in order to get to the design that you think is best, I suspect not just the commissioner in charge of transportation, but others on the council would be willing to take up the question of maybe just partial jurisdictional transfer of portions of 82nd in order to get the transit project that you believe would be the best one. So, again, it's at the risk of maybe stating the obvious. Those aren't original thoughts in this room. But I think it's really important that if that is still the approach we want you to take, that we speak clearly about that. And then again, these are big investments. They're around for a really long time. They shape the growth of the city. And so we really want to get it right. Another set of instructions I want to make sure that we express, and it's actually not so much to you as to ourselves, in my opinion, on the last transit project, the city of Portland was slow to get our piece of the work done. That is, we're about to open a billion-dollar light rail line where we still have station areas zoned industrial. We are working on our comp plan now. It's really important, I believe, that we synchronize the work on the comp plan with the work on this this transit project. So in soccer terms, we run to where the ball is going. And have the land use pattern in place, at least as a parenthesis on the land use plan, pending approval of the project, that once the project is funded, then this zoning is in effect, not that zoning anymore, so that we don't have strip mall zoning on walkable urbanism, transit. So I think all those things, again, sort of stating the obvious, but I believe, and it's a good chance for all of us to weigh in on those things, that that's the set of instructions that Commissioner Novick is expressing from not just himself, but from all of us.
Those are very helpful reminders. Thank you.
Mayor, actually, before we get to public testimony, we have a number of illustrious steering committee members here who are, in fact, so illustrious that I'm sure the Commissioner Fritz will agree that there's no way that the City Council will ever disagree with any recommendation they might make. So, with your permission, I'd like to call up Metro Councilor Bob Stacey, Rahi Reddy, Opano Board member, J District Steering Committee member, and resident along the corridor, and Trell Anderson, Director of Community Development, Housing, and Catholic Charities, to kick us off.
Good afternoon. Councilor.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, first of all, I'm Bob Stacey, Metro Councilor. I'm the co-chair of the steering committee along with my colleague, Shirley Craddock, who represents the eastern part of this corridor. I'm going to depart from my prepared remarks to thank each of you, members of the council who just spoke, and to thank Mr. Saltzman as well. You're giving great direction, and I saw Mr. Lato from TriMet writing it down. I saw Director Treat writing it down, and I'll remind Brian Monberg from our staff to make notes as well. I have to say I heartily concur with the observations the mayor made about priority for transit, pedestrians, and transit riders, about Commissioner Fritz's observation, essentially, that this entire corridor alignment is a high crash corridor, is replete with high crash locations. And Commissioner Novick for grounding this discussion in a reminder about Sunday night's terrible accident, a terrible crash, that once again demonstrates the real danger of the current design and operation of these very large traffic facilities. As the commissioner said, Commissioner Novick said, this is a great transportation project and a great opportunity to grow the 17,000 riders in this corridor now, with thousands more, with better, more efficient, speedier, safer traffic or transit. It's also an opportunity to make those streets safer for the people riding and accessing transit and just plain crossing the street or traveling along it. In addition to a great transit project, we have a great steering committee. You know, TriMet has a standard operating procedure, has in the past, or TriMet Metro, the partners in these corridor projects, of identifying the usual governmental suspects, bringing them together, myself included, and making decisions about how to allocate resources. This time, we involved the community that we're trying to represent. We all believe that we do our best to represent the views and wishes of the community, but here we made sure, as you can see by some of my colleagues at the table and others who are in the audience, that we've engaged the educational institutions. You'll hear from President Howard of the Southeast Campus of PCC, the Mount Hood Community College is represented on our board, or on our steering committee, the Division Midway, and J District, NPI districts are represented, as is Southeast Uplift, East Portland Neighbors, as is East Portland Action Plan, OPAL, Public Health and Active Transportation Advocates, and transit-dependent users of the transportation system, all on our steering committee, all helping us discern what this community that will be served by a great transit project needs. And it was those community members who raised an issue that wasn't on our starting agenda, equity and displacement avoidance, to the top line of what we hope to accomplish in this project. We want economic development and prosperity in this corridor. We also want and intend to have strategies to avoid involuntary displacement of businesses and current residents as a result of that growth and opportunity. We have a real intergovernmental partnership here, and Brian Monberg and your Director of Transportation, Ms. Treat, have already spoken to many of the aspects of that, the mutual funding strategies. I'm really proud of the effort our transit-oriented development team played in securing this 100% corner on Division and 82nd, which I hope also is the alignment we select, although I'm studiously neutral on the subject as chair, co-chair. We got that furniture building, Discount Furniture. It's a great, lively place overnight, thanks to Epano, its current tenant. And we've used planning grant resources to make sure that your very talented planning and transportation staff, as well as Gresham's, are assisting at an even higher level in this work. So thanks to that work by all these staff and the steering committee, we're on target to move into this phase of project design and deliver the region's first high-capacity bus rapid transit service by the fall of 2020. That's my goal. It's a little more than 5 years away. It's entirely achievable if we keep our sights on it. So I encourage respectfully the council to move forward with Metro, TriMet, Gresham, and ODOT into that design phase by taking the actions requested by your transportation commissioner today. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your invitation to speak. And good afternoon, Mayor Hales, and Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman. My name is Rahi Reddy. I live in the Powell Division Transit project area, and I'm also here to, and I'm also a member of the Jade District Community Project and with Epano, as well as serving on the Powell Division Steering Committee. I'm here to express my support for the city's endorsement of the Powell Division Transit and Development Project. I'm also here to emphasize to you just how important it is that we ensure that low-income communities, and especially families of color, benefit from the public dollars invested in this effort, and to urge you to continue to engage these impacted communities in the planning and implementation phases of the project as well. As you very well know, and please, you all know this, but bear with me, East Portland is home to over 35% of the city's population, with a concentration of residents of color, many of whom who are immigrants. You also know it's home to 37% of our K-12 youth and a third of its elderly population, so a truly multi-generational region. And almost 41% of these families in our corridor live on less than $42,000 a year for a family of four. In the Jade District alone, we consider, you know, I'm biased, but we consider the Jade the heart of this project, the heart of the corridor, maybe shown on the map as well. But just in, you know, these families in the heart of this corridor, for our community, 50% of our families earn less than $42,000 a year for a family of four. A third of our children and 40% of our seniors live in poverty. And I say this just, we all know these statistics, but it's important to reemphasize them in the context of this project and the impacts that it'll have. According to the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis, East Portland is also home to the highest concentration of low-wage workers in the region. These are workers who work in food service, custodial, landscape, and low-wage health care. So it's no surprise to you that we see this project not just as a standalone effort to improve bus service, which is important and critical, but also as an opportunity to use our tax dollars to leverage smart community economic development that can uplift the most vulnerable workers in Portland. And with such a high concentration of youth in this region, really an opportunity to positively engage today Portland's future workforce. So good economic development to us and to you as city leaders, as you've said before in other instances, means investing dollars to not only make improvements to our streets, but to make sure that the workers who are improving those streets are from the community, are in unions and in careers that future careers that started with the Powell Division work but last a lifetime. So those investments go beyond just the work that they do on the Powell Division project. So there's clear equity strategies that we believe can instill this type of comprehensive equitable development. Community benefit agreements have been raised earlier today. So community benefit community benefit agreements on all work done in the corridor with strong local hire policy that encourages hiring of community workers into union construction careers and a robust recruitment of minority contractors. Transit project dollars should also be used to support local training programs. Great partnership with PCC Southeast, among other community colleges in our district, to help our youth enter into transit careers, maybe future transit planners, but really looking at transit jobs that are family-sustaining jobs. And the other piece we really think is important to continue the investment that you all are making is permanent jobs created in the transit corridor, including those that service transit stations, so maintenance, custodial workers, adjacent retail and landscaping work that happens for the permanent stations should be quality union or family wage jobs. And ultimately, we need to have a place in this conversation to really build community stabilization. We all know what are some of the unintended consequences of transit development, kind of referred to before as some of the mistakes other places have made. But we really need to ensure we have policies that help renters and low-income homeowners to stay in their homes. And one of the strategies that we would love, and I want to say thank you to Metro and Councillor Stacey for raising this issue of a community advisory team. I served on this committee. And it really makes a difference when you have a diversity of stakeholders that are weighing in on these decisions. And so we urge you to continue a citizens advisory committee beyond this closing of this beyond the end of our kind of term here that includes residents and businesses and stakeholder organizations located along the alignment as well. And I just want to share with you this idea of improvements for the communities that live there. It was a big topic of conversation for us at the steering committee. So last summer, as part of my Epano Jade work, you know, I knocked on doors and talked to residents in the Jade District along 84th Avenue. And I met a young man. He's 19 years old. He grew up in the district. He was at the time in community college, hoping to work, build a career eventually after he graduates in the IT sector. And he coaches his little brother and other community kids in a soccer team and soccer basically volunteers. There's no program there, but he really loves living in this community. And he is, you know, living in his family home, the home he grew up in, with his mom, his dad, siblings, grandparents. And I talked to him about the Jade work, and I talked to him about the Powell Division upgrade and how exciting it was. And he wants safe streets. He wants better lighting. He wants his little brother to be able to walk to Harrison Park School safely every day. But he also really wants to keep his family home. And he said to me that he worried that having all of these basic improvements means being unable to afford to stay in his home. Now, if we can't assure him that he deserves all of those things that families on the west side of 82nd have, safe streets, lighting, kids walking to school, my kid one of them, without losing everything, then I don't know what we're doing this for. So we want smart future workers like him to continue to invest in his neighborhood, be able to see his family prosper without the worry of being pushed out. I know that's the kind of Portland I want to live in. So thank you, Commissioner Novick and Mayor Hales and Director Treat for your leadership in making this project a true win for communities. I look forward to further investment of your time, your ideas, and Portland's resources to ensure community members continue to give voice and direction on this project. What a great model. We could be on that map as a great model for other cities in the rest of the country. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, City Council members. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Trell Anderson. I'm here to support the resolution to enter into the project development phase of the Powell Division Transit and Development Project. I live in the corridor. My kids attend school in the corridor. I'm a bike rider and transit user in the corridor. And I'm the Director of Housing and Community Development at Catholic Charities, and I'm serving as a member of Metro Steering Committee. Catholic Charities is a major stakeholder in this corridor, serving people open-heartedly from all communities who are low income and in need. We are culturally responsive in providing immigration legal services, refugee resettlement, pregnancy and new family support, and licensed adoption services. Our culturally specific services through El Programa Hispano serve 15,000 Latino community members annually, including anti-poverty programs, school-based programs, and Project Unica, which serves women fleeing domestic violence and sexual assault. We own property within the Powell Division Corridor planning area, including offices and affordable housing communities. In addition, El Programa Hispano is headquartered in downtown Gresham. Our clients frequently rely on public transportation and infrastructure to access services, education, jobs, and their support networks. I'd like to go a little bit more specifically here and advocate that it is especially the children who live in our properties at 27th and Powell, many who are from refugee families, would benefit from the project components being proposed here. They attend school at Hosford Middle and Cleveland High School and overcome the real dangers of crossing Highway 26 2 to 4 times a day, risking both life and limb, as sadly witnessed from Sunday's accident. Frankly, this is an equity issue. When low-income kids are prevented safe routes to school, it hampers their access to education, limiting their opportunity to better-paying employment, and as you know, these are critical pathways out of poverty. Through the resident services that we provide, we emphasize and support school attendance, high school completion, college enrollment. We have graduating seniors this year who would benefit significantly from bus rapid transit to Portland State and Mount Hood and Portland Community Colleges. We ask for your help here by entering into the project development phase as recommended and by working collaboratively with the county, Metro, ODOT on safety access issues that impact low-income communities and communities of color. Kudos to the Metro staff and council members for a robust process to gather input. Very early on, we identified equity as a priority for our planning effort. There are many racially diverse and low-income communities within this planning corridor, and I'm hoping that we take a serious stand on our values of diversity and equity through the project development phase. I second Rahi's recommendation here for an ongoing advisory committee regarding equity. Please consider a yes vote to enter into the project development phase, joining the formal request to seek FTA funding, and advancing the good work that has been completed so far. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all very much. Is there more invited testimony?
And there is. And if we can, there's four other steering committee members here, and if we could try to squeeze all of them up in the space normally reserved for three. We have Duncan Wong, Director of Development and Communications of APANO, Jessica Howard, President of the PCC Southeast Campus, Lori Boyson, Executive Director of the Division Midway Alliance, and Vivian Satterfield, Associate Director of Opal Environmental Justice. And while they're sitting down, I have to say that although I love all these organizations, Lori, I've always particularly loved the name Division Midway Alliance because it kind of sounds like you won the Second World War.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, and thank you again for this opportunity, and thank you for all the support the city and Metro have offered us throughout the process. My name is Duncan Huang. I'm the program director of the Jade District at APANO, and I'm also a resident, so I both live and work in the district. So this community is very dear to my heart. APANO and the Jade District have had a substantial history of community engagement, both on this project and in general throughout the district. Just this spring, we convened about 100 people at FUBON to talk about the Powell Division BRT opportunity. It was done in three languages, so Chinese, Vietnamese, and English. And there was really overwhelming support for the BRT and having it on 82nd. I think there was a lot of apprehension, though, around the potential interruption of business and also effects of gentrification and displacement. I think I just read somewhere that in Cleveland, Cleveland saw a 10 to 30% bump in property values along their BRT. So I think that's a real threat that our community will be facing. And this, you know, this project's just really important for our community because, you know, we want to connect people to school and work, but we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to stay and then enjoy those benefits. And, you know, we also want to make sure that it's not just about transit. It's really, you know, as Rahi said, an economic development opportunity. And, you know, I was on that same canvas that Rahi was talking about as well. And you know, I talked to someone that was a grandma that lived in the neighborhood for 30 years, and her son goes to community college. And I think their main priority was really walkability and safety. You know, it's not just enough to have a transit line, but we need the infrastructure around it so that people can go from their neighborhood to the bus stop to where they need to go. So I think that really does require significant investment beyond just the transit line. And, you know, last year we also had a traffic fatality on Valentine's Day. A 78-year-old community elder was killed walking across 85th and Division. So I think the need for this walkability and safety component is incredibly vital for the district, and I think the BRT project could, you know, really help leverage resources to address that. So, you know, on behalf of the J district, I'd really like to offer our support for the BRT process and particularly for the 82nd alignment. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I'm Jessica Howard, and I'm the campus president of Portland Community College Southeast Campus, which is located at 82nd and Division. I also am very privileged to be able to serve on this steering committee for this project. And so thank you for allowing me to speak. I must say it's a little hard to do it when everyone who's come before you has made most of your points. However, what I'd like to offer to you are three things I think that make this particular project really extraordinary. One is the area itself. This region of Portland has been historically underserved, and it certainly perceives that it has been historically underserved. To engage the community, to ask it to think in terms of a vision for the future, makes this project far more than about transportation. It really is about not just getting from point A to point B or getting to connect to a point of opportunity, but it's about placemaking, and it's about community, and it's about generations of people into the future. And it's about dealing with the threat of gentrification and, you know, what we want to do right. And so I think that the stakes are very high in this region of the city, and I think that the opportunity to do good is very great. So that makes this project extraordinary in my mind, number one. Number two is this planning process has been tremendous. I am actually relatively new to Portland. I haven't been here yet 3 years. So I come from a different state. That state is Texas. It couldn't be more different. And so I've never seen a process this inclusive, this respectful, this collaborative. It's been tremendous. It's been an amazing opportunity to see everyone have a voice. And it's just been incredibly thoughtful. And I can't commend the process itself enough. There's been wide engagement and lots of folks basically supporting the views of youth, the views of business, and the views of various cultural communities. So it's been just really, really solid. So I must say that makes this extraordinary. The last thing I'll say, and this may be no surprise, is that I really do view this. You've seen the image already of this being an education corridor, this concept. And I think that that makes this extraordinary, too, because it's about two very large community colleges, Mount Hood and Portland Community College, being connected on this line, but also the entire innovation quadrant, so-called, of Southeast Portland with OHSU and PSU, and also the PCC Climb Center, which is the incumbent worker training center, is also connected to the very western point of this proposed BRT line. All of these things make this, I think, truly an education corridor. Also, note that assuming that 82nd is the north-south point on the line, any person who comes to the PCC campus is connected up to the free PCC shuttle service, which runs through all of PCC, connecting anyone from Southeast Portland to locations as far away as the Rock Creek campus, which, as you know, is 27 miles away. It's quite far. And so that is a huge, again, connecting point in terms of how all this would flow. As you may be aware, the PCC Southeast Campus has undergone a huge change in the last 2 years because the community college, as a result of the huge bond that we passed in 2008, put a lot of money and a lot of investment into the location. So now that campus serves almost 12,000 students. It's expected to serve twice that number and is poised to do so. On the site of this particular campus is a small business development center. Unlike other campuses at PCC, notably Rock Creek, which has Intel in the backyard, we don't have one great big industry in that area. In fact, what you see are a tremendous number of small businesses. So having that resource there, I think, is huge. So all of those things to say, I think this is an extraordinary project, and I really hope that you will support its work going forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, thank you so much for inviting me and come speak today. It's challenging to think of what else I can add on to a lot of what's been said, but for the record, my name is Vivian Satterfield. I work for OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon. I'm a steering committee member. I happen to also be a Foster Powell resident. I live just a block and a half off of Powell. So, I don't have a driver's license. So I get around by bike and transit primarily, and I'm a budding new motorcyclist, which is really exciting. So all that to say that this is a project I really care about because it affects me, it affects my community, it affects people I care about, and I work along the corridor as well. I did want to thank Commissioner Novick for your work up until this point and Director Treat's considerable time investment as well. The comments throughout the process really sets the tone for how we can expect to work together, and we greatly appreciate that. So again, just underscoring a lot of the comments that have come before, you know, we really have an opportunity here to create a healthy and better connected community with opportunities for prosperity. At OPAL, we really do talk about transportation as access to opportunity, and I think we have a unique opportunity here, especially connecting a lot of the education components, cultural components of the J District as well, and, you know, moreover, just creating transit opportunities for folks who are quite frankly really struggling in the area. So the key priority is to ensure people prosper and that we, again, have strong anti-displacement strategies and tools. I think we've all learned lessons from the past where in our region, similar in transportation investments, particularly high-capacity transit, when not paired with robust and substantial anti-displacement tools, however unintentionally, does result in or lead to gentrification and displacement. So, you know, we continue to talk about housing in a primary transportation project, but I think we'll be naive to not recognize the sort of investment that's being made in this area and how that's going to impact, a variety of sectors and issues. So housing does have to be addressed separately. We need affordable housing by design and economic prosperity through living wage jobs in the corridor. I've said it in many community spaces, but I do strongly believe that housing is a community right. So housing production associated with transit investments is a right. So yes, again, this is a transportation project with more access to things, and I have heard a lot of concerns in the community about what our local bus service will look like as well, so that's something that I'll be tracking carefully along with our Bus Riders Unite group as we move forward. It's also a development project, however, that can really undercut some of these conceptual benefits which should go to the community. If the folks who live there now can't take advantage of it in the future, we will have failed at our jobs. I do want to encourage Council to support the resolution that's in front of you today and to continue to track the community stabilization recommendations that the steering committee members have been putting forward through implementation of this project. And, you know, obviously we're working on getting more tools in our toolbox to ensure that we've got more, more things that we can do around housing, but we really can't afford to wait. Especially with the recent housing report. I'm just starting to dig through it, but just even seeing the visualization of the maps and seeing what sort of housing availability is being made in my community. I became a first-time homeowner, and you know, my parents are immigrants, and that's I'm living their dream of not having to go through the struggles that they did at my age. I'm doing far better than they ever did, and I want to make sure that that opportunity here in Portland, and I'm not a native Portlander either, you know, I want to make sure that opportunity that I've been able to take and to have my piece of some kind of pie is going to be able to be afforded to other folks as well. It's real, it's tangible, and that's why we're being aggressive about it, quite frankly. So thank you so much for your support.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mayor and Council members. I'm Lori Boyce, and I'm the District Manager for the Division Midway Alliance for Community Improvement, and this is driving me crazy.
We're going to replace it this year, so.
I also live near the corridor, and I work along the corridor. I am part of the steering committee. I'm also part of EPAP and the Economic Development Subcommittee at EPAP. I want to thank Commissioner Novick especially for the work that he put into this project from the outset, and recognizing he didn't have the capacity and bringing Director Treat in when he was unable to attend was absolutely beneficial to us all. I urge you to please adopt the project development phase of this joint jurisdictional Powell Division Bus Rapid Transit project. The work that we've been doing has just been incredible. I can't.